Good morning, brothers. As always, it's good to be talking to you. It's a little strange to be talking to you in this forum. One thing I realized as I was developing the presentation for today is how much I enjoy the feeling in the room in the student auditorium at BCC, and I get a lot of good positive feedback, being able to see everybody's smiles and fake laughter at my cheesy jokes and that sort of thing. And that's something that's really kind of missing here. So to sort of make up for that, that same email you saw before, you can just send money to my PayPal account. I've got a little window down here showing me as the donations roll in. So just kind of whenever you feel like I said something worthwhile, just send me some money to my PayPal account. I'll be able to see it and I'll feel that same warm feeling. So today we're going to talk about chapter 5 of Nehemiah. And what is going on? Well, what's the problem? Rather than read the entire passage, I picked out what I think is kind of the salient line. As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people, only for them to be sold back to us. What Nehemiah is talking about here is the fact that the higher classes of society, the financially well-off, the nobles, the officials, are charging interest to their fellow Jews who need to borrow money to pay the king's taxes. And what Nehemiah is telling them is, look, it's kind of a little tone deafness going on here. We took great expense, expended all kinds of resources to get everyone back here to Jerusalem to fix the wall. And now you've basically kind of operating in a business as usual process while people are really struggling. And he said, you should not be charging them interest. You'd be lending freely of your bounty to help your brothers get out of the times of struggle. So he's basically accusing the officials, the bankers, if you will, of being a little tone deaf in how they're carrying out business as regards their fellow Jews. Now, what is Nehemiah doing at this time? Well, he is the governor of Judah. He is the representative of King Artaxerxes. He's a man of great authority and a man of privilege. I'm sure they have a nice house for him. He probably gets a cool car and a dining expense account and probably a personal security detail and even a, hey, no pictures guy, right? He has all these trappings of authority available to him, but by many accounts, he passes on a lot of them. We think he keeps the house. I'll explain why I think that in a minute. But there, he talks about how he does not take everything that's offered to him by saying, the earlier governors placed a heavy burden on the people, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on the wall. All my men were assembled there for work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the government because the demands were heavy on his people. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I have done for these people. Now, my interpretation of what Nehemiah is saying here is he had the opportunity to get a lot of food and sustenance, and as we talked about, other benefits for free. And he passed on that, presumably paying for these meals he's preparing out of his own salary. And so, as I read what he was cooking for everybody, it makes me think of a good old Texas barbecue where we're going to lay out a whole kind of bunch of smoked meats for you. If you happen to be visiting us from Florida, we might throw a bacon wrapped gator on there. Make sure we have some stuff of chicken in his mouth while he roasts up. But everybody's going to get a nice big plate of food. Nobody's going to go away hungry. And So what Nehemiah is doing is ensuring that the benefits, the blessings of his position, of his situation, don't all stay in his household. He's spreading that around. He passes along the blessings of his situation. How did Nehemiah use his resources? Well, let's talk about the resources he had. He had authority, which he used for the benefit of the struggling. As he talked before, he called on the lenders to forego interest. And he led by example, not taking interest himself for those things he was lending to others. He used his blessings for the benefit of others. As we mentioned, he blessed his people, he blessed his team, he blessed those who came from surrounding nations. Now, it's not evident or obvious to me that he was inviting all the poor and struggling to dine at his house. But he did bring in his team, he did bring in those who visited, and there's certainly the suggestion that he was demonstrating good leadership in serving others with the blessings that he has received. Then he made it clear with a grand gesture of executive power how you should treat the people of Israel. He stood up in the midst of his officials, shaking out his garments, and saying, in this way may God shake out of their house and possessions anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied. After he had called the nobles and officials to him and said, hey, we need to be a little more sensitive to those struggling around us. We need to not charge them interest. We need to lend freely of our bounty, of our possessions. They got on board. They agreed. They said, we won't be doing that anymore. And he kind of sealed it with this gesture. I can kind of imagine an executive standing up in front of the whole board of directors and saying, look, this is the way we're going to do it. And if you don't, you're going to answer to me and to God. And I think this is one of the reasons people say Nehemiah is a great book on leadership, is because so many of the things he professes in the book are things he demonstrates himself, things he puts a stamp on with a good gesture of his power. So who are the hurting among us today? We've talked a little bit about what it looked like in chapter 5 of Nehemiah as people were struggling. As Dave told us last week, you know, with their spear in one hand and their hammer in the other, as they try to protect themselves and work on the wall at the same time, and probably worrying about their families back home. So who are the hurting today? Well, as I was assigned this topic to speak on about, you know, 3 months ago, before anyone had heard the word coronavirus. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have another chance to speak on the poor and the struggling. And it's, you know, I was thinking, you know, praying for a way to make this new, you know, to find something and hopefully speak of in a unique way. Well, we have a pretty unique way to speak about it right now, because, you know, who isn't hurting right now? We have the economically torpedoed who are worried about their businesses are going to go under. The socially isolated who are now quarantined or distanced from their loved ones or neighbors. The medically vulnerable. Folks are just living, who may not live with those three problems, but just have this sense of uncertainty. What, you know, what's going to happen with my job, my company, my retirement fund, even though, as we see the stock market respond in predictably up and down manner to what's going on. As always, we have widows and orphans. And, you know, we are told that the demonstration of love is to visit widows and orphans in their struggle. And ourselves, I mean, frankly, I feel a little sad about everything that's going on. I kind of have this heaviness about me. every day, you know, and I think I realize why it's there. There's this uncertainty going on. There's sadness for the lives that have been lost. There's concern about folks who are sick, and anxiety about how things will recover. I try to spend some time with that feeling periodically, just sit quietly, answer it, say, yeah, I'm sad about this. I can't explain it totally. I feel very blessed in my position. I'm not worried about my job. I'm not particularly worried about finances. I have resources that allow me to take care of my family, take care of my neighbors. But it still makes me sad. I can't argue with it. So I have to spend some time with that feeling. I have to talk to God about it. And I encourage everyone to do that. I think as men, you know, we're not always, the example is not always set for us to sit with your feelings for a little bit and be honest with yourself and with others about how they're impacting you. And I encourage you to do that. You certainly don't have to look far to see someone who's hurting. I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here real quick. I got to thinking about this on Easter Saturday. We spend a lot of time talking about Good Friday. We spend a lot of time about talking about Easter Sunday, and these are great and appropriate things. But for whatever reason, on Saturday, it hit me, you know, how folks must have been feeling. Things had been going so well, you know, and then there was a great calamity, and then there was a fair amount of uncertainty. Does that sound familiar at all? Now, I know here we sit on the other side of Easter Sunday with much less of the uncertainty because we are secure in our faith that the risen Lord has saved us. But still, there has to be a feeling. I think back of what were the folks feeling on Easter Saturday? What the heck just happened? And is he coming back? We're sure he told us he would. Is he really? Now, I found it kind of interesting that the only folks that are really talked about having done something on Easter Saturday in the Gospels were the chief priests, the Pharisees, and Pontius Pilate. And what did they do? Well, they went to great pains to ensure nobody could steal the body of Jesus Christ. They put a guard and a seal on the tomb. And I'm really glad they did. I think it adds so much to the story. You know, had they not, and the body ends up missing, somebody stole it, of course. We don't guard those things. They walk up there, they roll away the stone, they take the body, and they can make up whatever the story they want. Well, as part of God's wonderful plan, they didn't leave it alone and took great pains, and we have accounts of the stone being rolled away, despite the seal, despite the guards. Good thing they did. Now, everyone else, well, all we read in the gospel is it was the Sabbath. So after the day of preparation, they observed the Sabbath, and then we pick it up on Sunday morning with Mary hearing, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" So when I feel sad, I have to ask myself, why am I weeping? Whom do I seek? Is Jesus there waiting for me to turn to him and say, Rabbi, teacher, Lord? That's my rabbit hole. So what is the help today? Well, in times of struggle, look for opportunities to serve your neighbors. Service is the help today. If you do this, you become a warrior for God. In good times, look for opportunities to serve your neighbors. In this way, you demonstrate your commitment to God. And in times of plenty, look for opportunities to serve your neighbors. In this way, you give thanks to God for his rich blessings in your life. So, what is the help? Yeah, serve your neighbors. I think that many of us have the ability to do that. And I pray that we'll take advantage of that. Now, I'd like to invite a special guest right now. Jay Harriet is going to join me on the line. Are you there, Jay? I hope he will unmute himself and speak to me. I saw him a little earlier. I see his window. Test you one more time, Jay.
Is Jay in table four?
Sounds yes. Right.
Yeah, table four.
Okay, for some reason, I'm unable to unmute him either.
I'm here.
All right, beautiful.
Yeah. Gotcha. Sorry, it just crapped out, like, just as you said something.
All right. Well, we're going to overcome the hurdles that might be thrown before us. Hey, so I'd like to welcome Jay Harriet of the 25th Project to the show this morning. Jay agreed to let me interview him real quickly, and we're going to talk a little bit about how he's serving, how the 25th Project is serving, and how maybe we might think about serving. So Jay, can you tell us real quickly, how's your workload right now?
For the 25th Project, it's busy, busier than it would typically be at this time of year.
And is there anything, I mean, how's the weather affect you guys? Is this when you're kind of wrapping up normally, or?
Yeah, typically we look at what we do for the 25th Project as a sports season. So our sports season goes from October to the end of February. So October 1 to end of February is like our heavy season when we're really busy. And then it lightens up a little bit in March. And so with the coronavirus, it's only extended our season a little bit and made us busier and getting doing more stuff with the homeless than because the needs are bigger.
Right. What's your main priority right now for the folks in the homeless camps?
The biggest thing is to get water out. We're doing a little bit of propane and water. Water is the big deal right now because our homeless friends are taking a little more energy and being more hygienic than they typically have been in the past.
All right. And how have they been affected mostly by COVID-19?
Well, there's less groups going out and doing things. We've had two or three groups that have just stopped or have halted or have cut way back on their operations. So someone's got to be there. So we're the ones that go in and are able to help out. Thank God.
Thank God. So you're talking about volunteerism maybe kind of dropping off a little bit. Does that mean you need more people? Do you need more donations? Are there unique ways you're seeing people help out?
In fact, Mike, the chef from our men's breakfast, just yesterday, someone had, Chuck LePay had given me some venison that Zach had taken down. And so I had that, and we partnered with Cheesecake Factory. And so they had a bunch of rice, like 60 pounds worth of rice and mashed potatoes. And so I took it over to Mike. And so Mike, the last two weekends, has made up something out of rice and potatoes. And yesterday he made a stew, and we took it down and served dinner last night to our homeless friends.
Nice. How about donations, either of money or supplies? How have they been affected during this time?
We're pretty good. Actually, we've had more donations. Like, there's been a bunch of folks that have contacted me, and I just said we need water is the big thing. I'm going to do a propane run today. So that costs money. So we're always looking for water and being able to do propane.
Right on. So what could a man from BCC, one of your brothers here watching this morning, what is something that he could do to directly impact and improve the work you're doing?
They could get a case of water and put it on their front porch, and I'll come pick it up. Text me or email me, and I'll call me, and I'll come pick up water. Dallas has been getting soup, cans of soup, and I go pick it up, get water, and pick it up. If they wanted to be a runner, just let me know, and I can tell them exactly where to take water and drop it for. We're having less long, lengthy conversations. Like, I take a third of a cigar and have that with them as opposed to having a whole cigar.
Right. So if I wanted to be a driver and deliver supplies, you know, are you guys using some, you know, more safe methods of delivery? Do I have to, you know, what do I have to do to worry about how the contact is going to be?
Well, the contact is just, you can drop it right at the campsite that it's going to, right up front. And then I just text, I can text Brian or Keith or Matt or whomever is sort of in charge at that camp, that I know they have a working phone all the time.
All right.
And they'd be able to pick it up. They could go no contact if they needed to.
Okay, that's great. And it's the 25thproject.org, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. So, Jay, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. The men you work with have been on my heart, and I'm sure there's lots of folks at base camp and in the men's ministry who have worked with you. And I know we've all been thinking about you, and I know all our brothers here at base camp, we're just praying for the work you do and praying for the men and the families who can see a little extra amount of struggle in this strange times. And so thank you for the work you do. God bless you, sir. And thanks for your time.
Amen. Thanks. And thanks to everybody, all the men that support us in prayer and donations, everything. It's just been amazing, and couldn't ask to be part of a better church. It's really amazing. Thank you.
So I want to, you know, just lift up the 25th Project to you gentlemen and ask you to consider the words that Jay told. Consider how you might can help directly or indirectly with the 25th Project. I'm going to say a quick prayer, Lord, for Jay and for all his volunteers and for all those who work with our homeless community. We ask that you will provide them with extra resources, with extra energy and extra strength as they minister to this very vulnerable community. Thank you for men like Jay. Thank you for those organizations. Amen. So some more practical application, you know, after, you know, having Jay get real with us like that about how he's on the ground out there helping folks, some of these suggestions you're about to see may seem a little thin, but hey, we can do a multi-pronged assault against the enemy. And so I just wanted to put out some additional things maybe to think about. Eat out. If you have people who work for you in a service capacity, see if you can prepay for services. You know, we have a lady who comes and helps clean the house a couple times a month, and she's not working right now. And so it's nice to be able to prepay some of that. Mow a neighbor's yard if you have someone who doesn't get out very well. Prepare or buy and deliver a meal. Keep in touch with those isolated folks who are around you. Don't neglect the offering. You know, coming to Sunday morning at church is a important way to be able to share our fortunes with the church. And so please don't neglect that as we move through this. And as always, the most important thing we can do is pray. Pray our community, pray our church, pray our globe through this tough time. Well, I'll leave you now we'll turn it back over to Mike. Here's some discussion questions. They should be, the table leaders should have gotten these as part of the notes pages. So I hope someone in your table will have them to refer to. Who are the vulnerable or isolated people in your life, and how are they doing? Have you reached out to them? I think we've all seen unique things on TV about how people are serving one another. And if you've seen something personally in your community, please share that with your table mates. And then talk a little bit how your position or your condition, your situation, might give you some additional flexibility that you can use to serve your neighbors. Thank you so much for your time. Lord, may you bless our table time this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to join with these wonderful men. Amen.